The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, his disciples said to Jesus, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and you will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him, and say to the owner of the house which he enters, 'The master says, where is my dining room in which I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room furnished with couches, all prepared. Make the preparations for us there." The disciples set out and went to the city, and found everything as he had told them, and prepared the Passover. And as they were eating, he took some bread, and when he had said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them. "Take it," he said, "this is my body." Then he took a cup, and when he had returned thanks, he gave it to them, and all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is to be poured out for many. I tell you solemnly, I shall not drink any more wine until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." After psalms had been sung, they left for the Mount of Olives. The Gospel of the Lord. Food and cooking programs and great bake-offs seen constantly on television, not to mention the frequent reminders about healthy eating. And it shows, in a way, the obsession of the West, where obesity and allergies are a problem, as opposed to much, of course, of the rest of the world, where they're just glad to have something to eat at all. Food and drink, of course, are vital for life. We know we can't live long without food, and we're told, of course, you become what you eat. So if we eat healthy foods and develop healthy bodies, if we eat junk food, we've a fair chance of developing unhealthy bodies and becoming too big or too fat. What we eat can become also a weapon in the advertiser's armory, because they try to sell us food that makes us fit, food that makes you slim, food that makes you happy, food that'll make you beautiful. And the old adage about an apple a day keeps a doctor away. It's true that certain foods are conducive to long life. And so if we eat and drink as they're telling us to do, the odds are in favour that we live a long, happy life. Well, of course, as we know, there may well be elements in all that and truth in all that. But Jesus wants to lift us to a different level and a new level of understanding. Because he says, "If you do not eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will not have life in you." And life here means faith, our life in relationship to God, who loves us, comes to make his home with us when we keep his commandments. And that's what happens, of course, in our Old Testament reading. The Lord has led them, they come to the commandments, and again, we're meant to follow them. And in John's Gospel, Jesus promises eternal life to those who believe in him. And the abiding reminder of all that is exactly what we hear for the Mass, the promise, the feast that we keep today. "The bread that I shall give is my flesh for the life of the world." So while we're aware of the importance of what we eat and what we drink, our faith shows us how to fulfill that longing, not just for this life, but for the eternal life, by receiving the body and blood of Christ in Holy Communion. That's why, of course, we had at the 9 o'clock Mass, 7 of the children making their first Holy Communion. But in today's scriptures, we also get a bit more. All three remind us that that longing for eternal life will be fulfilled through the covenant relationship with God. All the readings mention that covenant. Jesus, of course, links the gospel always, this is the blood of my new covenant, which is shed for you. And it's the covenant relationship with God. Salvation is not just simply God's free gift to us with no strings attached. God's people were molded in the Old Testament as a people of Israel, led out of Egypt at the Exodus, which is where we pick up that first reading, and they experience the commands that the Lord gives them, those 10 commands. If you keep these, and it's ratified with the sacrifice, sealed with the blood that sprinkled on the people. And for us, our journey to the promised land of heaven builds on that same relationship with God. That's why at the end of our Mass, we'll sing Jerusalem the Golden, where we look forward to at the end of all this. But in the meantime, the Passover meal celebrated by Jesus as the Last Supper brings that same relationship to a new level. God's word of love, written not on tablets of stone, but in the wood of the cross. It's why, of course, the cross is always central to us. It's always there, right before your eyes, because it's the blood of the new and eternal covenant, blood of Jesus poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. And that's God's free gift to us. And all he asks of us is what we say as we say the body, the blood of Christ. Amen. Amen. We agree. We're with you. We then, of course, belong to God's new people, the church, committed to the new commandment of Jesus, which he gives us on the Last Supper. That's why on Holy Thursday night, it's a different gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus saying, a new command I give you, I've shown you this, as he washes their feet. They all link together. And so the whole story of the Bible is the story of God, who satisfies the hunger of the human heart for life, a story that unfolds slowly through the history of God's people, and comes to its fulfillment and climax in the birth, life, death, and resurrection of God's Son, Jesus. A story of God who loved the world so much that he gave his only Son as food for that eternal life, here and now. So man did eat angels' food, an old antiphon, of course, at benediction. And we become, through that, partakers in his own body and his blood. Sunday by Sunday, day by day, we link into the real life of God. The retreat conductor during the week pointed out to us that many other churches, not Catholic, will often make you welcome to our morning worship or our evening worship, whatever we do. Of course, I always say welcome, but we link with the worship of heaven. We're offering what Jesus eternally offers to the Father, not something we've just made up or we'll have something different today. We're offering what he asked us to do. We're offering what he does, linking ourselves with the worship of heaven. So that one sacrifice of Jesus, the Mass, as it were, makes that sacrament present through the consecration of the bread and the wine, that one sacrifice, transcending time, transcending space, enabling us to be present at the foot of the cross, close to the empty tomb. As I ever remind you, that the altar always represents the risen Christ, a bit like a tomb, but the risen Christ, but it needs the crucified Christ. And that's why in a few moments at the offertory, as the gifts are presented, they are sent first, Holy Thursday night. Jesus took the bread and the wine. This is my body, this is my blood, as he was about to pour it out on the cross, sensed next. And then that risen Lord comes to our altar, so the altar is sensed, and then you as the people. The whole thing, you see, hangs together, and it's right, because this is the most precious treasure the church has, the body and blood of the Lord, always with his people. You can't live without food. You can't live without love. God knows that, and he gives you both.